Welcome to another Psalms devotional time in the morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and we are going to be looking at Psalm 6 today, and I have another new coffee mug. So this is wonderful. My one of my favorite parts of the Westminster Standards is the definition of God. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, and his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So, just a little explanation. You might think, wow, you're getting a lot of mugs for, you know, lately. Well, that one I got for free because there was a sort of a misprint on my last mug that I got, the Calvin mug, which Beth got me for my birthday. So, because there was a misprint on that mug, they sort of made it up to me by sending me this mug. So, very thankful for that. And so, very nice. Great mug, good size, good color, and couldn't have better something written on the outside of it. So, but we are here to look at Psalm 6. And Psalm 6 is a powerful plea for mercy from the Lord. Mercy is when we do not want God to treat us as our sins deserve. Mercy is when we do not want God to punish us, even though we know we deserve it because of the sin we've done. And we don't want him to enter into judgment with us, but instead we're pleading for him to be kind to us, to be gracious to us, to be merciful to us. And this is a psalm of David, pleading for mercy on the basis of God's steadfast love. So let's pray, and then we'll get into Psalm 6 together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning that you've given to us. Thank you for waking us up, giving us another day of life, giving us time to spend with you in your word this morning. As we look at Psalm 6, Father, we pray that you would write it on our hearts, that you would make us more like Christ for the time that we spend together in your word this morning, that you would shape our hearts to receive mercy and to extend mercy to others in your name. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 6 is written to the choir master with stringed instruments according to the Sheminith. And no one really knows what that means. When you see untranslated Hebrew words in the titles of Psalms, it means that we don't really know what it means. A best guess is that it's probably the tune that this was to be sung to, that there were sort of a standard set of tunes that were for congregational singing of psalms and songs. And so this is according to the Sheminith, and it is a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life, save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. For the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. Amen. That is Psalm 6. So I said it's a plea for mercy on the basis of God's steadfast love. And yet, the plea is actually for God to be gracious to me. So we use sort of in a shorthand way to talk about the difference between mercy and grace. We say that mercy is when God withholds from us the punishment we deserve. So mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve, right? And that grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. So when he gives us positively benefits and blessings that we don't deserve. And so the opening line here, verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. That is a plea for mercy. for a withholding of the anger and the discipline, the rebuke that David knows he deserves. But he doesn't want that from the Lord. And so then there's a plea for God to be gracious, to give him something that he doesn't deserve, which is healing and restoration. We don't know the circumstance in David's life that prompted Psalm 6, but it does appear that he has been guilty of some great sin, and that it has caused his enemies to increase in boldness, to surround him, and to, oppress him, and that he can't sleep at night, and that he's feeling terrible. So David was a man after God's own heart, but David was also very much a sinful man. And so we could point to a number of different things in his life that could be behind this. We think of his sin with Bathsheba and how that must have weighed heavily on his conscience, and it must have really troubled him. But he confessed that, and he was forgiven, and he wrote Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 after that. We could think of Absalom's rebellion, which, unlike when King Saul was chasing David earlier in his life, so earlier before David was king, King Saul persecuted him and chased him down, and David was completely innocent. But you can make a case that when Absalom rebels against David, David is not completely innocent. He has been sinfully neglectful of his family. And I don't have time to go into the whole backstory there, but basically Absalom had some just cause to be angry and disappointed with his father, because his father failed to take action to carry out justice in his own household. So it could be Absalom's rebellion. It could be something else. We just don't know. So that would be speculation. But here's what we can know. You and I sin. We do. We sin all the time. And sometimes we sin spectacularly in ways that shock us. You ever been shocked by your own sin? You thought, did I really say that? Did I really say that in that way? You know, to my children, to my wife? Did I really gossip in that way about that person? Did I really have that outburst of temper? Did I really lust in that way? Did I really covet in that way? Did I really have those thoughts in my heart about getting revenge on that person and sort of mull on them for a while? Did I really lie in the way that I lie? I mean, you ever sin in such a way that you think, wow, I can't believe I did that? It's a little bit of an indication of our own self-righteousness when we are shocked by our own sin. You ever think about that? If you're shocked by your own sin, it's because you had too high a view of yourself. And so it's an indication of our self-righteousness when we're shocked by our sin. But when we get beyond being shocked, sometimes we're really deeply convicted over our sin. And we come to hate our sin, and we don't want it in our lives anymore, and we see how much it offends a holy God. And then we can come to this place. See, David is under deep and heavy conviction for his sin. And he's doing what we ought to do, what all of us ought to do when we come under deep and heavy conviction for our sin, and that is he goes to God. So often we just wallow in it, or we, you know, engage in vacillating back and forth between self-pity and self-loathing. Oh, woe is me, and oh, what a terrible person I am, and oh, woe is me, and oh, what a horrible person I am. And we just sort of stew right in it. Take it to God. Take it to the Lord and pour it out at his feet. That's what David shows us how to do here. So he begins with a plea for mercy. He knows that he deserves to have God rebuke him in his anger. He knows that he deserves to have God discipline him in his wrath. But he says, oh Lord, please don't do that, but instead be gracious to me and heal me. For I am languishing, for my bones are troubled. He knows that if God is tender in compassion toward his own children. So he knows that if God hears his cry and sees his distress, that the Lord will be merciful. But he doesn't know when. He says, my soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? How long? That's a perfectly fine thing to pray. The Psalms tell us to pray that repeatedly. How long, O Lord, until I'm delivered from this, until I'm healed of this, until I can praise your name? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life, save me. I love how punchy and direct David's pleas are here. He's not pulling his punches. He's not beating around the bush. He's not trying to couch his prayer in sophisticated language. Be gracious to me. Heal me. Turn. Deliver me. Save me. It's urgent. It's urgent. David is pleading with God with urgency. And the basis of his plea is not for the sake of his own righteousness. It's not for the sake of all the things he's done in the name of the Lord and for the Lord. It's not for the sake of anything in David. His plea is for the sake of God's steadfast love. That's his chesed that we've seen as the golden thread that runs throughout the Psalms. God's chesed, God's steadfast love, is his covenant loyal love and faithfulness to his own. That's the basis of it. Any plea for mercy or grace with God is who God is, not who we are. It's not, oh Lord, I've tried so hard. Oh Lord, you know how much I love you. Oh Lord, you know how much I've done in your name. No, we don't plead anything in and of ourselves. It is God, his character, his steadfast love, his tender compassion, his committed love to his own. That is the basis of our plea. He doesn't want to die in his sin, because if he dies in his sin, he won't be able to lead God's people in praise. He won't be able to be effective in the world in glorifying God and in calling attention to God's steadfast love and exalting the greatness of God's name. I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. David is in deep, deep distress. When we sin, Satan has this wonderful 1-2 punch combination. He's a great boxer with millennia of experience. And Satan has this great 1-2 combination. You know, a boxer will use a jab, right, to sort of get at his opponent and sort of test the distance and sort of weaken his defenses. And then when he's jabbed enough, he'll come in with the roundhouse or the uppercut, and it's the knockout punch. And what Satan does in his wonderful way of being delightfully evil and, I mean, cleverly evil, not delightfully, but cleverly evil, he comes at us with the jab of temptation. And then when we give in to the sin, we've weakened our defenses. He hits us with the uppercut of the roundhouse of shame, of despair. So he goes from temptation to shame to despair. He's the one who heaps on our head that talk of, how could you have done that? And you call yourself a Christian. What kind of a Christian would do that, would think that, would say that? How can you possibly be a Christian and act that way? What a hypocrite you are. What a failure you are. God can't use you. Does that sound familiar? Oh boy, it sounds familiar to me. But that's not the voice of God's truth. That's not the voice of God's steadfast love. So David's crying out for God's steadfast love to counter all of this garbage that has been overwhelming him and that has been causing him such distress. Our foes can be relentless in their attack. Our flesh wants what it wants, and Satan enjoys giving us what our flesh wants and then heaping scorn on our heads and watching us squirm under the weight of his condemnation. David's had enough of it. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. Get behind me, Satan. Be gone, devil. For the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. Amen. That's our only hope, is that the Lord would hear us, that the Lord would accept us, that the Lord would answer us. For the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. And why is it that the Lord will accept our prayer? It's through Jesus Christ, the righteous one, our great high priest, who ever lives to make intercession for us. Through Jesus, God always accepts our prayer, and he always accepts our plea for mercy, and he always answers yes and amen in Jesus Christ to his troubled saints, his troubled children. And so the confidence comes in verse 10, the confidence that says, all my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. In a moment, they shall be put to shame. They shall be turned back. Satan wants to heap shame on us. Well, shame is coming on him. He will not have triumph over the children of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that because of Jesus Christ, the righteous one, our faithful great high priest, we can come before you with pleas for mercy and know that we are heard. We thank you that on the basis of your steadfast love, on the basis of your chesed, O Lord, you never fail to uphold, to strengthen, to restore, to renew, to refresh your children. Sometimes it takes a while, and we say, oh Lord, how long? And we rightly pray that, because sometimes, Lord, you leave us in seasons of distress and despair for an extended period of time for your wise purposes. And so we sometimes cry out, oh Lord, how long? But we know that because of your steadfast love and because of our great high priest, you hear our prayers. You answer our prayers. You respond to us with mercy and love. And our enemies will depart. Our enemies must be gone when you speak. For your word is the final and the authoritative word. Your word is the word that matters. And so we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I thank you for joining me for this time in Psalm 6. Our plan is to gather again on Friday morning for Psalm 10. I pray that you will walk with the Lord today and that you will trust in his steadfast love and plead for him to be merciful to you. And he will answer that prayer in Jesus' name. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Amen.